Since the 1800s, Hickok & Boardman Insurance Group has been providing quality service and peace of mind to our clients. With our offices in Burlington, Stowe, and St. Albans, and our Dennis Ricker & Brown offices in Montpelier and Lynnonville, we are here when you need us.
It's time for Radio Vermont's News and Public Affairs program. It's open mic with Hester Fuller. The phone lines to speak with Hester are open right now at 802-244-1777 and toll free at 1-877-291-8255. And now, here's your host, Hester Fuller.
Thank you, John, very much. And good morning, everybody. Happy first day of summer. What a gorgeous day it is, too. Unofficial start to vacation season, or official start to vacation season. Danica Patrick apparently thinks so. I see the NASCAR news blog today says that she's spending the weekend. She spent the weekend in Vermont this weekend. I don't know if anybody caught sight of her out there having a good time here, but I think she was up in Stowe. Who all knows where she was? Anyway, she's not the only one to make a trek up here to enjoy some leisure time, and it's the time of year when we like to think about things we might do with the good weather. So give me a call and tell me what your plans are for this summer season. What are you going to do? What are you going to do to kick the season off? Got any long-range plans? You gonna stick around and do something at home this year? What would you like to talk about this morning? Give us a call, 244-1777 or 1-877-291-8255. I have to tell you, I'm in kind of in a vacation frame of mind, although I have no vacation on the horizon anywhere. But it's just so gorgeous out there. I hope you got outside yesterday and were able to make the most of tremendously beautiful, beautiful weather. News this week, oh gosh, all kinds of things going on to commemorate or to take advantage of the fact that the summer season is upon us. I guess tomorrow, I wasn't aware of this, and maybe some of you were, but apparently tomorrow, all around the state, there's a Make Music Festival, literally, something like 71 different artists in a bunch of different venues all over the state, a lot of the state parks and public lands. And I'm not talking about the Rainbow Family Gathering down in Rutland. That's happening, too, and that's always a sign of spring, but that's way down south, and we're not going to worry about them too much right here. Make Music tomorrow, first full day of summer, all over the place, all over, everywhere from Mount Philo State Park over to Groton, Jamaica. There's going to be music down the state park down that way, up at the Bennington Museum. Lake Champlain Community Sailing Center is going to feature music by Vermonters. Not just Vermonters, all kinds of folks are going to be performing, and that'll be a fun thing to do. On a Tuesday, on a hot summer day. Do you have festivals coming up in your neck of the woods? Special events that mean summer to you? Give us a call. Let folks know about them. Call us up at 244-1777 or 1-877-291-8255. That'll get you the toll-free number right here on Open Mic. Hester Fuller is my name, and I'm with you every Monday from 9 until 11 o'clock. And my trusty sidekick, Tom McLeod, isn't here with us today, so I have the beautiful, joyful noise over there.
Oh, you're too kind.
Sometimes. No, John Noyes is a man in the lines in there, and being my person I can talk to when there's no one else to talk to. But I know you all will fix that because I hear from you guys on a regular basis. So give us a call at 244-1777 or 1-877-291-8255. This warm weather just puts me in a mood to just kind of kick back and take what comes. How about you, John?
Yeah, it's a little... I like the mid-70s, frankly.
You do?
Yeah.
Ugh, I could
get
take the heat.
The 80s and the 90s, that's not my thing.
Well, I kind of like things over the top in lots of different ways, and so this is fine with me.
All right. Well, it's short-lived, it looks like. It's going to cool down to the 70s.
Yeah, well, that's okay. It just makes us appreciate it all the more when it finally rolls around again. It'll be good. Yeah, well, I think we earned it. We maybe didn't earn it as much this year as we earn it other years. We had a pretty easy go of it, I think, this past chilly weather season, but... Nevertheless, it's always wonderful when it finally gets here. When you sit out, the thing I notice is I'm sitting outside and I can hear the leaves knocking against each other in the breeze. That's my sign of the good weather is finally
here.
Well,
we did a long bike ride from the trail from Marshfield to Groton.
Wow, and, that's a haul.
It's such canopy that mm-hmm. You're not in the sun that much.
That must have been beautiful.
Yeah, it's a lovely
fantastic drive.
That's
great. Did I overhear you telling me, Corm, you played some golf this weekend?
Yeah, Frankie and I went up and chased golf balls in the woods and elsewhere. So, yeah.
Someone's got to explain to me the appeal of that game. I just don't get it.
You get one shot amongst the 50 or 60 that you might hit. And that makes you say, I can do this. It's that one shot.
All evidence it's to all the contrary, notwithstanding. Yeah, I don't know.
It's a frustrating, wonderful game. But, hey, a nice way to spend an afternoon.
I think it is. But, you know, Mark Twain called it a good walk spoiled. Yeah, and that's kind of my view. If I want to play pinball, I'll play pinball. And I love pinball. But if I want to take a walk, I'll take a walk. And I just don't like conflating the two. It's confusing to me. And it's not restful.
You don't like walking and hitting things as you're going along?
I don't usually feel like hitting things, John. Do you?
Sometimes with a golf ball, yeah.
Yeah, well, okay.
And hitting it is not the easiest. And it's not even moving. How hard can that be?
Yeah, well, yeah. The earth turns underneath it, though, and just yanks the hole right out from under where you're going just as you get there. It's tough. Let's hear from you guys. What are your favorite occupations or preoccupations or leisure activities that you're looking forward to now that the weather has turned warm and I think it's safe to take the snow tires off? Call me rash. I think it might be a good time to stop and think about what we can do for a good time. Bill from Barrie, you're on the air. Good morning. Oh, I can't hear you, Bill. You're really, really faint.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, now I can hear you now.
Okay, I'm out in the backyard so I can get a better connection.
There you go.
I'm looking over the jail branch of the Winooski River, and it's beautiful, all the different shades of green.
Oh, isn't it amazing this time of year? There's so many shades of green. It's unbelievable.
I'm standing in the shade, so I'm not too bad off. But I got to get serious,
okay.
Really serious. I have a solution to stopping the terrorism and what happened in Orlando.
Well, you know, we've been waiting for this, so let's hear what your idea is.
First of all, I got to tell you that my son and his family live in Fort St. Louis, and I saw pictures of the house that the killer owned and gave to his brother-in-law.
Yeah, I think you told us this story last week, didn't you?
That part of it. Okay, so I have a reason to think.
Bill, we got a problem here.
Your phone is terrible.
Can you call us back on a landline, Bill? Because we really can't take the static.
Yeah, it's too staticky.
Too much.
Yeah.
Sorry. Hang on a second. I need to clear my throat here.
And while Hester is clearing her throat, we remind you 244-1777 or 1-877-291-8255. The numbers to reach us for open mic.
Thank you, John. I appreciate it. And Bill, do give us a call back, but on a line that doesn't break up so much. That'd be great. Now we'll head to Williamstown. Rama, how are you this morning?
Yeah, good morning, Hester. Hey, I can give people static, but hopefully it comes through clearly.
Yes, we can hear you.
Yeah. Hey, well, before I mention what I called up about here, just tomorrow evening, 6 o'clock at the Williamstown Middle High School is the Northfield-Williamstown Merger School District
Study
Committee meeting. So. Yep. You know, please show up if folks feel so inclined.
Can you give us a heads up on what some of the agenda might include?
Well, the agenda's pretty simple. There's two items on it. One is we're going to be hearing from the business manager for, you know, the business manager's view of the numbers and what the district looks like from that perspective. And the other is we're going to be talking about talking to each other about the questions that we will need to have answered to decide if we're going to move forward or not. And the idea behind that second part is the committee will be meeting in July, and that's where we're basically going to sit down and hash out if we want to continue or not and what our schedule will be. So
that sounds like a pretty full docket for a June meeting. That's pretty ambitious.
Well, I'm a taskmaster. You know, as the chair, I really kind of push people through to get through an agenda, and it can be frustrating at times. But yeah, it's a lot of decisions to make, and we do come out too. Yeah, we will come out with an answer at the end of the day.
Well, I think that's great. Now, when you say you're going to be talking about questions you still need answers to, is this an invitation to folks to bring questions they may still have?
No, that's not it at the point. It's not questions that we still need answers to. It's what questions that we are asking within ourselves to make a decision. So, you know, this will be a chance, and it won't be a time to sit down and get answers to the questions. It'll be a time to sit down and let each other know what we're thinking about. And so when we sit down in July, that it's not just total cold calling and, you know, people are bringing thoughts, ideas, concerns, and opportunities out of the blue.
Terrific. Okay, yeah. Now what time and where is this gathering going to be?
6 p.m., Williamstown Middle High School.
Okay.
And it'll be going from about 6 to 8, 8:15, somewhere in that area.
All right, and that's the study group to explore the merger with Williamstown and Northfield.
Well, it's a formal merger study committee.
There we go.
Yes.
That's right.
Hey, by the way, you were asking about golf.
Yes, I was asking about golf.
Really what I called up
oh,
about.
Oh, good. It's a mystery to me, so please enlighten me.
Well, because golf is one of these things that I'm absolutely horrible at, but I always enjoyed. Always. I loved going out there. It didn't matter. I could play 9 holes. I need 36 balls to do it in. It's the only way I can make it through. But golf is a great metaphor for life. I mean, you can really, really suck at it, but you can still enjoy it.
You know, there's something to that. But, you know, why should I, who loves baseball and thinks of baseball in that regard, also shave off some of my allegiance and send it to golf?
Well, who's your favorite team?
The Boston Red Sox.
There you go. There's your answer. I mean, I'm a Cubs fan, so I'll go play golf, or I'll play the guitar. I'm horrible at the guitar, but I love playing that,
yeah,
too, you know. So I'll find things I really enjoy at. I like the Cubs, but they're horrible. So, you know, it all falls under this is how life is. You don't have to be good at something to enjoy it.
And golf reveals character.
It does.
Yes, it does.
It certainly reveals some characters that I've known.
It reveals immediately what kind of person you are.
Well, as somebody who spent a bunch of years in my earlier, many, many years ago, earlier life caddying at a country club near where I was growing up, I can attest to that. You saw the best and the worst of people.
And I think we're the last generation of caddies, too, Ron.
Were you? Yeah.
They don't have caddies
great.
Anymore?
No, they make all their money on cart rentals.
Yeah. Yeah, that killed the caddy business.
That's a shame.
Yeah, it was.
It's going to kill a bunch of old golfers, too, if they're not getting the exercise.
Well, you could. And who cared about the old golfers? We were there to make money. So, all right, thank you.
Well, thanks for calling, Rama. Good luck with the meeting tomorrow. That's great. Ruth from Sheldon, you're on the air.
Yes, I went to the Norm McAllister trial.
Oh, wow, yeah?
I went because I was really upset with the media reporting of the case. And so I wanted to see what the truth was, and I certainly saw what the truth was. And the state did not have a case against Norm McAllister.
Well, it certainly seems that something fell apart because the charges were dismissed, were they not?
Yes, they were. But the media continues to drag Norm through the mud. They continue to report what the girl said, which clearly was not reliable. Everything she said was not reliable.
Well, I wasn't there, so I'm not really sure what the on what basis the state rejected or let go of the idea of pursuing this prosecution, but they didn't.
Well, she gave 4 sworn depositions under oath that she was telling the truth, and every deposition had different facts, different dates, different details. It was totally. Now, the state, the prosecutor had all this information before the trial, but they still went to trial. And
well,
I'm wondering why they would do that when they knew all of her testimony was not consistent or reliable, or there was no explanation for what she was saying.
Well, I think those are very good questions. I wonder if we will learn. There's at least one more trial coming, correct?
Yes.
So
yes.
Maybe
anyways,
we will learn more
I
about
home
that.
Thinking, well, there's absolutely no way that they can find Norm guilty with what was said in court. However, I've got to go tomorrow and see how they twist this all around to make him look guilty. And so I went the next day to see what would happen. And they spent about 2.5 hours not in court. And then they came out and said, due to an ethical dilemma, the charges would be dropped against Norm. Nor would they be able to pick them up again at a later date.
Huh.
So,
they didn't elaborate. They didn't say more than that.
So,
no, because they were worried about the second trial.
Yeah.
You know, I've called before about Norm, saying that I thought he was innocent until proven guilty.
Mm-hmm.
And I've called because I didn't think reporters, you know, and the court system itself let out these women's names, which they were not supposed to do, so the public knew. And I want to say that this has been very hurtful to the people of Franklin County.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, yes, we didn't know if Norm was guilty or not. We assumed that the state had a really good case against him. They wouldn't bring charges if there wasn't a case, but apparently that's not the case.
We don't know yet, though, do we, Ruth? We really don't know. We know about this one particular one of these sets of charges has been dismissed. We're still waiting to hear whether that happens with the other charges as well.
Another reporter said that, and I don't know where they get their information. I want to say that the reporters were all talking with the victims' advocates during the trial, after the trial, when there were breaks in the trial. The victims' advocates were really filling the reporters in with all kinds of juicy details. That's something else I saw. I forgot what my main point was.
Well, you know what? I think we're going to be returning to this subject, no doubt, as the additional... You know, court dates arrive, so I'm sure we'll be hearing from you again.
They said that trial, the ethical dilemma might affect that trial also.
Well, we'll just have to see. We will, won't we? Yeah, and I certainly hear what you say about it being hurtful to residents, Franklin County, and I have.
You know what an ethical dilemma is? The state is doing something wrong.
Well, a lot of us are susceptible to ethical dilemmas from time to time, so we just don't know what the facts are yet, and perhaps some light will be shed as the case proceeds. But thank you, Ruth, very much for calling, and I'm sure we'll be hearing from you again because this is by no means a done matter. It'll be coming up again, and I'm sure we will revisit it again on this program as well. Meanwhile, I think we got Bill back from Barry on a sounder line. Bill, you still there?
I hope so. Can you hear me?
Much better. Much better.
Oh, great. Okay, here's the point. I told you about Port St. Lucie. My son thinks that it's a decent police force down there. And like I think Barry Town's a decent police force where I live. First thing I wanted to say, though, is the gun by itself couldn't have killed those people. But the killer... didn't need the gun. Timothy McVeigh used fertilizer. 9/11, they used knives.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the start. Now, here's the word. I don't know if you heard it. Cooperation. Cooperation. There's a whole lot more, many, many thousands, hundreds of thousands of police locally, many times more than the FBI has agents. And what they need to do is share their information. Had that the killer went into a gun shop and wanted to get body armor, and they said no, they didn't have it. But if they'd have had cameras and taken his picture and gone to the local guys, I think this would have been stopped.
I think that that's a really good point, and I think that that's a perspective we hadn't heard here, and I want to thank you for doing that. Unfortunately, we have to cut away. We got a little bit of business to do, but Bill, thanks for persevering and finding a clean phone line to give us a call and give us your point of view. You're listening to Open Mic. We'll be back right after these. Good morning and welcome back to Open Mic. Hester Fuller is my name. I'm with you until 11 o'clock, as I am on every Monday morning here on WDEV. Coming up at 11, Common Sense Radio with Bill Sayre. Today, he'll be working with Matt Strong, and they'll be talking about Vermont's Medicaid program. Does it cause our private insurance rates to be among the highest in the nation? That's Common Sense Radio with Bill Sayre, brought to you by the Ethan Allen Institute this morning at 11 o'clock. Matt Strong, isn't he the artist, the sculptor up in Stowe? I wonder if it's the same Matthew Strong.
I don't know.
I guess we'll find out when he walks in the door. Hey, I want to give a shout out to Waterbury's Finest. I don't know if you saw the news item in the Free Press yesterday, but Waterbury police, actually it was Friday, they detained a Quebec man in connection with one of those phone fraud deals. You know, like you get a call at some odd hour, somebody claiming to be
scammers,
a public defender,
yeah.
A scammer. Apparently it involved an Indiana woman who'd been told she had to send $10,000 to an address in Vermont for the defense of her grandson who'd been arrested. Now, my folks were the victims of exactly this scam, so I'm particularly keen to this, but... the Dearborn Sheriff's Department in Indiana apparently called the Waterbury cops on Wednesday saying that a 74-year-old woman there had been contacted by this fellow who claimed he was a public defender for her grandson, and asked her to overnight a bunch of cash to Waterbury. And the Waterbury cops sat there, watched the box, and pounced on the person who picked up the package. And That's pretty amazing. You never catch these guys. You call and you file reports with the FBI, and they say thanks for the information, but the likelihood that we'll get these clowns is zero. And yet Waterbury's Finest nabbed him.
The locals, way to go.
That's really good. That's really, you know, those scams, it's really awful what people will do to take advantage. My folks were, you know, they were in their 80s, and the call came at about 6:20 in the morning when they were, you know, let's just say not at their sharpest. And the scammers tried to say that they were calling on behalf of my brother, who's a surgeon, that he had been traveling up in Canada and gotten pulled over for speeding, which is so unlike him. And that on just a cursory search, they'd found something wicked evil in the trunk, and so he was being detained. And my parents are like flipping out. You know, what is this? They got all the way down. They went down to the bank. The bank was happy to hand them the money, the cashier's check. And then they went up to the Western Union place over in Morrisville, and it was just one very sharp clerk who said, "Are you sure you want to do this? Are you sure?" And my mother could be very, in her day, an extremely formidable dame. And she was outraged. She was furious. And at the time, I was working right down the road. And so,
start clerk.
Yeah. So someone who was with her called me on the telephone and said, "Can you come up here? This clerk won't do what your mother wants her to do." And I went up there and gave that woman a huge hug and wrote her a glowing letter to her boss saying she ought to be paid three times what she was being paid. And it was just, she was a young kid, too. She wasn't, you know, an older someone with a lot of experience standing up to formidable dames of 80 and more. And she did it, and God bless her.
Yeah, they know just what buttons to push.
Oh, they really
do. Enough phone calls, you're going to find somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. It's true. One of my little sidelines is I do computer repairs for friends and people in town. And I don't know, I would not have a little business doing that if it weren't for the number of phone calls that come in, you know, just trying to scam people about their computers. We're from Microsoft and we can see that something's wrong with your computer. Can we get in there and fix it?
Well, just open it up for us and let us get in there and fix that problem.
Yeah, those scams are just really something else. Have you ever been victimized by a scam like that, or are you just too smart?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Oh, I've gotten plenty of calls.
Yeah.
You know, and I actually returned one call to a foreign-sounding person who was calling for the Internal Revenue Service.
Oh, goodness.
First of all, I said, I know the IRS doesn't call. Mm-hmm. You know, and then the facade quickly turned very ugly, mm-hmm. very quickly.
Yeah, no.
And the language changed dramatically, mm-hmm. too. But
no, it's kind of amazing, the cheek of it, you know?
Oh, yeah.
If it weren't victimizing people, I would be kind of admiring. But
it
victimizes people, and that's not okay. Terrible.
It plays upon the people who can least afford it.
Yep. I wonder if any of our listeners have ever been prey to that sort of thing. Have you ever had a call from somebody who was not who they purported to be, who wanted to separate you from your dearly earned
someone offering
resources?
Bulk savings on Good and Plenty's?
No, this is an M&M, which is why
M&M's.
I'm crunching.
He's moved over to M&M's.
No, and I know they're M&M's, and I thought they were like not. I guess I sort of knew they were peanut M&M's, but you can't do peanut M&M's on the air. I just discovered.
No.
The other ones you can do.
Especially if you're allergic to peanuts.
No, I'm not. Anyway, give us a call and let us know what's on your mind this morning. 244-1777 or 1-877-291-8255. Summertime is upon us. What are you going to do with the time? What are you going to do with your free time and the beautiful weather that's out there? Going to get out there and walk around, hike in the woods, take your dog to Dog Mountain. That's a fun thing to do.
Yeah, Dog Mountain.
Yeah, love Dog Mountain.
It's a great spot. The Hunit crew and over there. Yeah, wonderful spot for animals. They love the dogs up in the kingdom, don't they?
They do. We do love our dogs up in the kingdom. We love our chickens, too, and we love all our critters. I had a terrible thing happen to my chicken this weekend. Uh-huh. One of my chickens, yeah.
Did it end well for the chicken?
No. And it was a protracted battle. They were fluffing feathers over 50 feet.
Oh.
Yeah. And then the other little hen, one of the other little hens was completely traumatized, lost all her tail feathers, and just she's been inside her little inside place pretty much constantly since the events of the day.
I think it's a fox? What do we think?
I'm not sure what it is. I'm really not too sure. I wasn't there. Didn't see it. I just know it didn't end well for Buffy.
Buffy.
Buff Orpington. Beautiful, beautiful chicken.
So
golden
sorry.
Feathers. Yeah, it was tough. But now I'm down to like a reasonable load of fresh eggs every day. So, you know.
See, it's all about balance in nature, isn't it?
Every silver lining has a cloud around it, you know. All righty. Want to know what's on your mind this morning here on Open Mic? Give us a call. We're a little bit loosey-goosey this morning because it's the first day of summer, for heaven's sakes. This is the time of year when we can kick back and be relaxed a little bit. Very serious on this program, 4 days a week, and so I get to be the one who is serious, but also open to your suggestions for things that are fun to do and things that maybe entertain you, that are a brighter bit, a brighter picture of life than things that we often find in the news. Give us a call, 244-1777 or 1-877-291-8255. You know, a listener called me out last week because I hadn't been staying up on the news, and it's true, I had not been, because I stay up on other things as well, so I kind of made a point of really kind of being sharp this week on what was happening in current events. I'm probably missing the boat on a few things, but I think the thing that struck me hardest yesterday was this notion that it cost UVM $135,000 to find a new athletic director right on their own staff. Did you read that? It was just amazing. Oh, look, we have a lovely caller named Paula from Brookfield. Good morning, Paula. You're on open.
Good morning, Hester.
How are you?
I think we know each other, but we won't talk about that. I have a question that's been bugging me for a long time. When you guys read news items, you always say it's not immediately known if the person has a lawyer, or attempts to contact the person were unsuccessful or whatever. I'll just hang up, and you guys can explain to me why that's been added to news broadcasts in, say, the last 1 or 2 years.
Because well, that's what the Associated Press writes.
Typically that is why, and I know that's a really crummy excuse, but it's also true, I think, you know, and that actually gets to a question, a topic we explored a little bit last Wednesday with Ross Connolly, the notion of what is news that's ready to go, news that's soup yet, you know, has changed.
What is informative news?
Right. Yeah. I mean, it used to be, if you didn't have confirmation, you simply did not report it. And nowadays, it gets reported, and then there's this little disclaimer put on the end saying, we don't know for sure, but here's the rumor we've heard.
It seems to be, it's more important to be first than it is to be factual.
Or accurate. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It certainly seems that way. And some of us who are old school, it chafes quite a bit. And you try to eyeball things, and sometimes you pick up copy and you just dive in. It's called cold reading,
right.
And you don't see the disclaimer till you hit the bottom of the page.
And after about the third story you've read that had that line, that you start to see a pattern.
And you start feeling really crummy you're being disloyal to your profession. And it's not
right.
It's not good. It isn't good. But, you know, back in the day, that stuff wouldn't have hit the wires yet.
No, it would not have.
And we wouldn't have found ourselves in that pickle.
So we answered the question.
Yeah, Paula, I'm sorry. We could all do our jobs better, and I certainly am reminded of that more or less on a daily, if not hourly, basis.
But see, that's a good thing about radio. You get an opportunity. It's a clean slate every day.
Well, it's like baseball, you know.
That's
right. The game is done. Tomorrow's another game.
It's in the scorebook. Let's start a new one.
Unless Stephen Hawking is right and space-time is curved and it's all going to come around again and I'll hear it. You know, I'll hear it later on in my life.
Curse you, Hawking.
He's one of my heroes. He really is.
And he's got an amazing sense of humor.
He really does.
He does.
Well, the other thing, did you hear that there was a second collision of two black holes?
No, I did not.
I'm kind of a science geek, and we talked about this when the first one happened, or the reports of the first one were released.
they couldn't reach their lawyers.
Two black holes collided, and proving, because the scientists were able to detect it with these massive, enormous detection gizmos they have, proving that Einstein was right, that space-time actually was malleable, could change, could ripple, could fold, could be different. And sure enough, it happened again, and they caught it again. So now they're thinking, well, maybe this is not uncommon. Maybe this happens all the time. It would explain the bus schedules.
You said it would be here at 12:30. Was that New Brunswick time?
Who knows? Anyway, that's the science tidbit of the week. That
there you
really
go. Colliding black holes.
This week. Yeah, that's correct.
Don't want to go near them.
What's on your mind this week? What kind of things have attracted your interest and got your attention? What kind of news events? What kind of fun events? What are there things happening in your town that you would like other folks to know about that they might come up and enjoy? Call us up and tell us, 244-1777 or 1-877-291-8255. Pastor Fuller on the air this morning with John the Joyful Noise. We are on open mic, and we're here until 11, and we will be back with your calls after this word. Good morning, and welcome back to Open Mic here on WDEV Radio. I'm Hester Fuller, and I'm with you until 11 o'clock this morning, looking for your calls and your thoughts this morning on a beautiful first Monday morning of summer. Although I guess it, technically it doesn't turn to summer until
6:34 p.m.
Yeah, but who's counting? I mean, my goodness, it's just absolutely heavenly outside there. I hear, because we can't see, we can't tell.
It certainly feels summery in here.
Yes, it certainly does feel summery in here. That is a fact. What are your plans for summer? What are you going to do? How should we celebrate this fabulous time of year that just doesn't last all that long? The 5 months of damn poor sledding is underway. Yep, give us a call. 244-1777 or 1-877-291-8255 is our toll-free number. Lots of stuff going on around this neck of the woods. That spot there for the St. Mike's Theater reminded me of just how much wonderful local theater there is during the summer months. We've got Lamoille Players will be getting going pretty quick, I would imagine. And there's that fabulous place on the Green in Greensboro. The Greensboro Arts Alliance and Residency has their repertory company. They'll be back again and kicking off, if they haven't already. I think they will be. There's a whole long list, and I had the list. And
yeah, you got Dartmouth, Skinner Barn. There's so much stuff around
here. It's really tremendous. It's the riches around here are just enormous. And then, of course, this music festival that's going to be held tomorrow all around the state. I think it sounds like it's going to be really a fun time for everybody in the various state parks, music all over Vermont. Make Music Vermont is what they're calling it. And Make Music Vermont means music's being played in state parks all over the place and in other spots as well, from one end of the state to the other, tomorrow, all day long. Sounds like a lot of fun.
And then this weekend, is it the Rock Fire thing that goes up in, Graniteville and Websterville?
Yep, yep.
So hope for great weather for that as well.
Yep.
If you say there's nothing to do in the summer in Vermont, you haven't been looking.
That's right. You're just complaining. Get up off your keister and get out there. There's absolutely no reason to be bored. It's wonderful. It's really terrific. Terrific weather, too, to be doing all this stuff. Great hiking weather. Oh, it was a little warm today, I suppose, for a hike.
I suppose you get up in the hills, though. Right? Cool down pretty quickly.
Underneath in the trees. That's true. Or out on your kayak, or just plain take a dip in the lake, or the pond, or the swimming hole, a dunk in the hole out behind your house there. Yep, it's beautiful, and it's here, and it's not going to last very long. So
it'll be over before we know it.
I know it. So we've got to get out there. Get out there and enjoy the summer. Lots planned. The chambers of commerce around the state are good bets for finding fun things to do with your kids and with family members and just by yourself. If you like to get out on the road and just do things yourself, plenty to do around the state of Vermont in this wonderful season. And, of course, politics never stops, no matter what the weather is outside. I understand that there's a controversy brewing in South Burlington over the F-35s. This city council in South Burlington actually is thinking about bringing a lawsuit or joining a lawsuit against the Air Force. And then there's a community group up there, Green Ribbons for the F-35. I suppose their community group. I imagine they also have support from other quarters, challenging the notion that that's a necessary thing to do. But anyway, there's going to be a meeting on Wednesday evening, and everybody's interested in having the community point of view expressed.
Nobody really knows, I don't think, how loud it's going to be.
No. They've done tests, but it's not clear. It's a problem that we don't have. Up in the Northeast Kingdom.
No.
I don't think there's anything that the F-35s are interested in zooming and booming to see up there. So it's quiet. Of course, now I've just kind of made it plain that it's a free-for-all. There's no, don't worry about it. There's no F-35s in our neighborhood.
It's a world up there in the kingdom.
It is, but it's a wonderful place to be. Summertime here in Vermont doesn't last that long. We'd like to hear what your thoughts are about what we can do with this gorgeous weather and what we can do with this time. I know for a lot of folks, the summer doesn't really kick in on a Monday because we all got to go to work, but the weekend will be coming and it's not too soon to be making plans. And then we have the first big holiday of the summer coming up not too far away, 4th of July. There'll be fireworks everywhere. There'll be bonfires. There'll be all kinds of fun stuff to do. Strawberry season's upon us. Good thing.
Blueberries coming soon.
Blueberries coming soon. That's right. Can't wait. My blueberry bushes look like they... If my blueberry bushes are any kind of a Gage. Yeah. It is going to be a fantastic blueberry year. Yeah. They're
birds
loaded.
Leaving them alone yet?
I have to put the cheesecloth on it pretty quick. Yeah. But it looks good, and it looks profuse, and it looks like it's going to be lots and lots of good blueberries.
It's one of the things we've done in the past is to go pick blueberries at various farms.
I know. I'm going to line
Owl's Head up in Richmond, great spot.
Then there's Brown's beautiful blueberries in Craftsbury, which are just unreal. As my San Francisco nephew likes to call them, redonkulous blueberries. They are big. Usually, by the time we get there, they're as big as like the knuckle from your thumb knuckle to the tip of your knuckle, that big and juicy
nice and sweet.
Really good. Really, really good. Anyway, blueberry season's almost upon us. Strawberry season is upon us. I don't know what the apples will be like. Apples were good last year, and we can't be greedy, I suppose. So we'll have to have maybe it'll be a bit of an off year for apples. Can't tell. But the berry year certainly looks like it's shaping up to be something gorgeous. Produce all year long, pretty great. Around here, and especially this time of year when everything is fresh and the farmers markets are roaring. It's just an amazing time of year in Vermont and something definitely worth celebrating and discussing. Oh, we have a call from Matt in Williston. Good morning, Matt. What's on your mind?
Just as far as this noise in the F-35, so I guess my only comment is we should keep the same process for the commercial airliners, DHL, FedEx, JetBlue, and anyone else that flies into Burlington, that every time they upgrade an aircraft to carry people, they have to go through the same procedure that the military does and keep everybody on a level playing field.
That sounds like a voice of experience talking.
I've had a house near the airport. I moved 2 miles away. I still hear the noise. When they put the air brakes on, the commercial guys, I hear that more than I hear the F-16s taking off.
Yeah.
When they train once a month. So if we're gonna complain about noise and airplane noise, let's put them all on the level playing field. And every time a commercial airliner or commercial airline company wants to upgrade, they have to go through the same process that we're requiring our military to do.
Do you have any notion of what that process is now for commercial airliners?
I don't think there is one.
That'd be interesting to find out. I'm not sure. John's shaking his head too.
That would be a good thing to find out.
Yeah.
Because, the Air Force went through the process, and the government does follow the rules, and they do go through a process, and now people want to muddy the waters and change the facts to get their way.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you don't like the noise, move with your feet. I mean, it's not like the airport just showed up there.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen, thanks for your input. I think that's a good point. I mean, I don't see why it shouldn't be any other way. I don't see why all those things shouldn't be treated the same. John's nodding.
I agree. Sorry.
Okay.
Well, freedom isn't free, folks, too.
No, it isn't. That's a fact. But it does seem like putting everybody on the same terms when it comes to noise or other kinds of things that might be incursions on your neighbor's rights and privileges, I think is only fair. It seems to make a lot of sense to me.
It would be interesting to hear someone who knows whether or not, whether there is a truth that every time a commercial carrier, brings in an upgraded jet.
What is the process, if there's a process?
Is there a noise process?
Yeah.
Are new jets louder and the bigger jets louder?
If you're listening and you know, please give us a call. Let us know. 244-1777 or 1-877-291-8255. Kind of a potpourri grab bag of topics this morning. We like to listen to what our listeners want to talk about. And this morning people seem to be thinking things over a little bit more than they often do. So don't mind the thinking, but give us a call. Tell us what's on your mind. 244-1777 or 1-877-291-8255.
So what's going to be the biggest event to hit Cleveland? The parade on Wednesday?
Oh, boy.
Or the Republican National Convention?
I know which one's going to be the most fun, at least for, those of us who know how to behave in public. I think the parade's going to be. Isn't that a great story? What an amazing story.
Well, that was one of the things they said, that the arena is kind of an issue as to when they can do things for the celebration of the Cavaliers, because they have some requirements that they have to offer to other people.
Yeah,
so.
and that's true. Well, we'll have to see. Did you see Apple pulled out as a sponsor of the Republican convention?
No, I did not.
Yes, they did. They do not wish to be associated with that event. So now there's probably bargain rate if you want the Republican convention to be your advertising platform. Call the city of Cleveland. They're really dying to hear from you.
Here's an opportunity.
There you go. Are you kidding? I'm going to tell the person who runs a grocery store down the street from where I live. I think it's going to be at a bargain rate if this goes too much longer. We'll just have to see. Yep, Cleveland's going to be the happening hotspot, I think, for the next couple, 2-3 weeks. We'll just have to see.
So has the junior senator from Vermont, has he officially come out yet? It sort of seems like he's...
No, he's still there. And I, you know, there's a pretty good discussion, let's call it that, a discussion raging about whether he should or he shouldn't. I think the mainstream folks all feel certainly that he should. I think there are others... and I will count myself in there, interest of full disclosure, who think that his race has not been about the guy. It's been about the ideas and the agenda. And unfortunately, the way things work in this country, you can't have a voice on that unless you have a horse in the race. And so he has to stick through and he has to follow it through. And I, frankly, I don't know how other people feel about this, but I'm bothered by this notion that he ought to just pull himself out, just get out of the race before the convention. You're smiling.
Well, because this call you'll enjoy.
Oh, boy. Yes, I will. There's some lowlife from, I don't know, where are you now? Moortown? Hey, Beards.
Duxbury.
Duxbury, thank you. I'm sorry. That's right.
Center of the known universe.
Center of the known universe.
Yeah, first of all, my condolences about your chicken.
Oh, thank you, Tom. I really appreciate it.
My prayers are with you.
There's better places you could put your prayers, believe me.
Yeah, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Gun control.
Can feel the sincerity.
Gun control.
So what's on your mind, Tom?
Well, I have 3 points to make, two of which would be regarded as against gun control, and one would be regarded as possibly for gun control.
Okay.
The first point is there's millions and millions and millions of people who own and use firearms for legitimate sporting purposes across this country.
Mm-hmm.
And in the interest of people on both sides understanding the viewpoint of the other side,
mm-hmm.
Those people that own firearms and never, ever commit a crime with them, and probably never will, when something like Orlando happens, they feel persecuted because of the misdeeds of someone else.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first point. The second point has to do with this notion of banning certain firearms. And a lot of people that don't know anything about firearms, and that's not their fault, I'm not criticizing them, but often they jump to this notion of assaulting so-called assault weapons.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the guns that are referred to as assault weapons are absolutely identical in mechanism and function to millions of plain, ordinary old hunting rifles. They operate the same way. They function the same way. They are identical in terms of their mechanism, yet they look different. So, therefore, the movement is to ban those particular weapons. And there's a lot of people that like to collect those weapons, and, you know, they will, again, never do anything wrong with them. Now, those are the first 2 points. The third point that I would make is, as a gun owner, it seems to me reasonable that if, and I'd love to hear from other gun owners about this, the notion of treating firearms exactly the same way we do automobiles, and that is registering them and licensing them and so forth, there's advantages to that to the gun owner, the serial number being registered with the authorities, and, you know, if the gun is ever stolen, you could immediately report it to the authorities, therefore... hopefully, you know, taking away any liability that might be held against you
mm-hmm.
for the, you know, what is done with that item. And also the idea, if it's ever stolen, you could report it, and hopefully if the authorities ever recovered it, they could return it to you.
I'm going to play devil's advocate.
Please.
I think you know where I stand on this issue.
I do,
but
yes.
But I'm just going to push back on that one, and some folks might be surprised. What's to stop someone from filing off the registration number? And certainly, you know, we see that happening all the time.
The answer to that is there's always a way to get around any law that's written. I totally understand that.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to find, you know, a reasonable, somewhere in the middle, a compromise that, you know, that you could say, you know, because I think of a firearm, we register automobiles, we license automobiles, we ensure what happens if an accident occurs.
And we require people to demonstrate some competence and some judgment.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, I took hunter safety courses, and my father was insistent, and to this day, I'm extremely careful with the firearms that I own. And it strikes me as though that would be a reasonable compromise, but I'm sure a lot of other gun owners would probably disagree with that. But the first 2 points, again, the people that are legitimate firearm owners and never commit a crime, the people that are advocates of gun control should try to empathize with those people now and then that, you know, the rancher in Idaho or the hunter in Vermont didn't do anything wrong. The guy in Florida did.
Mm-hmm.
And those people who are legitimate gun owners shouldn't be penalized or restricted because of the actions of a very bad person somewhere else.
I hear you. Yeah, and I would love to hear some people call in on this. Maybe after we're about to head into our news break at the top of the hour, and then we'll be chatting with our friends at Talk Media News. And when we come up on the other side, this would be an interesting topic to pursue during our second hour of our program. Thank you very much, Tom, for giving us a jingle, and we hope to hear from you again. Folks, you are listening to WDEV News Radio, broadcasting out of Waterbury, Vermont at AM 550. Also, off Warren and Waitsfield, off the top of the ridge there, 96.1 FM, and from downtown Barrie, 96.5 FM. Also, blanketing the Northeast Kingdom over the independently owned airwaves of 101.9 FM in Island Pond. Stay tuned for news, and we'll be back on the other side with more of Open Mic. Good morning and welcome back. It's Open Mic on WDEV News Radio. Hester Fuller is my name. I'm with you for another hour until 11 o'clock this morning, at which time Bill Sayre will be in with Matt Strong, and they'll be talking today about Vermont's Medicaid program and how it causes our private insurance rates to be among the highest in the nation. Matthew Strong and Bill Sayre this morning at 11 o'clock on Common Sense Radio, brought to you by the Ethan Allen Institute. Right now, though, it's time to dip down to Washington and check in with our friends at Talk Media News. Victoria, you just heard the bulletin about Corey Lewandowski.
Of course.
What's up?
Well, Donald Trump has fired Corey Lewandowski. Of course, that's not the way the campaign is putting it, but that's exactly what's happened. And they're saying that Lewandowski will no longer be working with the campaign. Well, that's a firing. They say the campaign is very grateful to Corey for his hard work and dedication, and we wish him the best in his future. Now, of course, Donald Trump always boasts about how loyal he is to his people, and that is not an example of loyalty to your people. So what is this about? Well, Trump has been facing increasing concerns from allies and donors, as well as his children, about the next phase of the campaign as he pivots towards the general election. Of course, there's been a big drop in the polls recently, and there's a massive barrage of ads coming from Hillary Clinton and from super PACs affiliated with her, or at least not affiliated with her, but that support her. Also, a person briefed on the moves has told the New York Times that campaign had long planned adjustments to the needs of a general election campaign. At least that's what they're saying. Mm. Now, the Trump people were having a big meeting, a big confab today about what to do, where to go forward. They were gathering their top lieutenants, members of the family in New York to discuss a political strategy shift as they look to move beyond recent missteps. Of course, the question about that is, can they move beyond recent missteps when Trump is Trump? Paul Manafort is the... You see, they've basically had two campaign managers recently.
Mm-hmm.
They've had Paul Manafort, as you know, who they brought in, and Corey Lewandowski. And they've had numerous reports in the press, which everybody's denied, that the two have been at loggerheads like two fox terriers,
mm-hmm.
you know, let loose in a room, ripping each other apart. And there have been two camps. And it looks like Paul Manafort is the one who's come away with fur in his teeth.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one's got a bit of blood.
Well, it certainly seems like they wouldn't have given him the you're fired line without a plan in place already and a person in place. And it sounds like what you're talking about is what's going to happen.
Well, Lewandowski has made some errors. And Lewandowski has been the one always, it seems, egging Trump on, mm-hmm. on the more of the radical line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if there's been like a, you know, yes, you know, Muslims should be this, that, and the other, he's egged him on to say that kind of thing. And Manafort is always the one who's urging him to take the more moderate line. And so maybe that's the line they're going to go. So we'll see whether Trump is going to go along that line and whether he is able to do that, whether he is able to be, I don't know whether this is the line they're going to take now, but whether he is able to be disciplined for the next 5 months. He secured the nomination in May, and right up until the 19th of June, he's basically squandered 5 or 6 weeks with unforced errors, attacks on whoever, shooting his mouth off when he could have really been going after Hillary Clinton hard. He's not really been going after Hillary Clinton.
Well, you know, what do folks make of the speculation that it's actually he doesn't really want the job?
Well, there's a little bit of that, but there's the other piece is that he wants to win.
Well, what a dilemma for him then.
Yes. What a dilemma for him.
What are we going to... I wonder how it's going to play out. I really don't think we can tell yet, and I think it'll be interesting to see what having Corey Lewandowski off the case, what difference it makes in terms of the racket that comes out of the campaign office and out of the candidate himself. Well, it sure is interesting, and it sure keeps being interesting. And Victoria, we look forward to hearing more of your dispatches on another Monday morning, perhaps here.
Indeed.
Thank you very much for calling.
Thank you.
See ya. Good morning, everybody. We are Open Mic. We are here every weekday morning from 9 until 11. I'm Hester Fuller, and I'm just here on Mondays. And now I'm very happy to see a new sidekick on the other side of the glass there. He's busy scribbling something, so I'm not sure he can actually hear me introducing him, but now he's putting on his cane.
I can hear you.
All right, Artie. Okay. Artie Levine, glad to see you this
morning.
I'm doing
good.
Very well. I don't think we've ever had
a
chance.
Monday morning.
It is Monday morning. It's true, and it's a summer Monday morning, and here we go. I don't think I've ever had a chance to work with you directly across
Probably
the glass.
Probably not, no.
This
First
is
time.
Kind of fun.
It's
yeah.
great.
And,
yeah.
And, you know, you were kind of a radio legend when I was coming
okay.
up. Because
yeah.
of your work at
at that other station.
At the other stations.
Yeah. Way back when. And the
Way
other
back
ones.
When. Yeah. It's true. Yeah. It's just it's kind of amazing.
Small state.
It is a small state. And that's one of the things that's really great about being here is that you can always go home. And the folks are still there.
Yeah.
And we... Nobody ever seems to leave. Once Ken Squire gets his clutches in you, I don't think anybody ever really completely leaves entirely.
Just look at Joel.
Just look at Joel.
Following in Joel Nashman's footsteps.
Oh, huh? Goodness me. I know.
It's a good deal. But it's great working with you this
it's
morning.
It's great working with you too, Artie. So. Well, we came off the first hour on a interesting note, and I'm almost a little trepidatious about bringing the subject up again, but I'd be happy to do so. Our last caller... known to many, if not all the people who were listening, raised the subject of gun control and the ideas that have been occurring to him in the wake of the Orlando tragedies. And he made a couple of really interesting points. He really feels that folks on both sides need to be paying more attention and attempting to empathize with people whose political views are probably different than their own. I certainly would... support that notion. Conversations go much better when people are really listening to each other. Also talking a bit about the move often to ban weapons focuses on banning certain firearms without regard to the fact that oftentimes they are functionally identical to models that aren't necessarily on the no good list or the list that people think of as particularly threatening. What are your thoughts out there? We'd love to know what you think. I am trepidatious about raising the subject, but you know what? Here we go. Let's try it. Give us a call and let us know. 244-1777 or 1-877-291-8255. And if that's not your cup of tea this morning, we're happy to talk about the things you think are important. What should we be paying attention to on this Monday morning, the last Monday of spring, I guess we should call it, because summer officially arrives this evening around supper time. So tomorrow, technically, I guess, is the first full day of summer here in Vermont and pretty much everywhere else. So give us a call. What are you doing with your summer time? What are you going to be doing with your summer free time or your summer work time? What does summer add up to for you now that it's here and upon us? Love to know what your thoughts are. 244-1777 or call us toll free 1-877-291-8255. Artie, did you take advantage of this great weather? Oop. Artie is giving me a note that
we have callers.
We have a call. Oh, there we go. Jane from Bolton, you're on the air.
Hi, I was calling because on the radio last week I heard about a car dealership in Rochester, New Hampshire that was offering a semi-automatic weapon for every car they sold.
You're kidding. Where did you hear that?
I heard it on the news on WDEV.
Well, that was a newscast that must have been happening while I was doing something outside.
It was on the national news.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
And I just think that's just what are people thinking?
I don't know what people are thinking. I'm certainly not thinking of picking up a semi-automatic weapon next time I need an automobile combustible, though, I'll tell you that.
Okay, I just thought I'd raise that, well, that idea, that question. What is he thinking? I mean, all I could think of is something terrible happening on the seacoast, something like that.
Well, not everybody who picks one up is going to be a wackadoo, too. So we can take some heart in that. I think the wackadoos are still outnumbered by the sane people. So, as long as that's true, maybe there's some hope. But it does seem a rather, I don't know, what should we call it, an irresponsible move to be doing something like that. But, what do I know? Thank you, Jane, for calling us. I appreciate that little tidbit. And that's a story I would like to keep my eye on. We have another caller. We have another caller on the line. Bill from Johnson, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning. What's up?
Well, I am frustrated at the media curve, not you guys particularly. I'm talking more about the national media curve that is just gearing up on gun control over this tragedy. These people died at the hands of a person who is not just a person who misused a gun, not just a person who misrepresents his religion, not just a person who may or may not have had some mental illness that's diagnosable, but all those things. And selecting out gun control is purely political. It's purely ideological. It has nothing to do with this particular event. And now we have the obscenity of Donald Trump, and I'm a deep conservative, but we have the obscenity of Donald Trump and some of the Republican leadership acknowledging a use of the terrorist watch list to restrict civil liberties. Here's where this heads, and allow me to sound crazy for a minute.
You're not crazy. Go ahead. Well, I don't think you are.
Terrorist watch list is a watch list. It's called a watch list because it is not subject to due process. It is hidden. It is it's like a list of suspects in an ongoing investigation. And those people are allowed, unless proven otherwise, to continue to exercise their civil liberties. Now, let's just compartmentalize that to American citizens for the time being, so it's clear. You're on the watch list. All of a sudden, senators pumping their chests and beating their chests, trying to look like they're being responsible, like Leahy and others, even some Republicans, are saying, yeah, maybe we could restrict the civil liberties of people who are on the watch list without due process, and then we'll offer them the opportunity, if they're put on a delay for a purchase of a firearm, to show why they shouldn't be on the watch list. That is upside down as far as due process and civil liberties. Let me challenge those who are tempted, and I have been tempted, to support the idea of watch list people being restricted in their civil liberty. I will challenge you. If you wish to restrict their Second Amendment rights, take away all their First Amendment rights too. And now all of a sudden that soup does not taste so good.
You raise a good point, but I want to push back a little bit on your on your first point. I mean, we've got a lot of stuff tied up here. You obviously thought this through pretty thoroughly.
It's what I do.
Yes. Well, you talked about people getting all hepped up on gun control in the wake of the events of Orlando last week, when we're really talking about a multiplicity of things that gave rise to a tragic event. And that it really, in your view, is not about the gun, is not about, and the gun control really is kind of beside the point. I would submit.
I would say it's part and parcel.
Part and parcel?
Him. He shouldn't have been buying a gun.
That's right. I would agree with that.
But due process in the Constitution says he could.
So where do we go with that? Do we do what Australia does? You know, that oppressive state, Australia, that has had severe gun restrictions for, 80 years? And they've had, I think you can count
Most severe restrictions and their registration confiscation program came about in the 80s and 90s. And they would tell you that it's a great success, but they really didn't have a violent crime problem before that.
And why is that?
So there's statistical analysis. Why is that?
Well, I mean, I would think that there would be certain groups in Australia who might disagree with that.
I will tender an answer to that if you'll continue the conversation back to my original point.
Okay.
I would tell you that it's cultural, that Australia had a deep, homogenous culture of people and community that fed them well.
I'm not sure that I would agree with that.
This country does in pockets, like places like Vermont, where community and responsibility and relationships inside of that context don't breed a violent society.
Well, I'm going to disagree with you on the first point. I'm going to disagree, but let's leave Australia out of it for a moment, and let's get to this notion. I think you're onto something when you talk about the culture of Vermont differing in substantively important ways, particularly around the issue of firearms. Where that gets us in a national level, I'm kind of at a loss.
Oh, I think it's quite clear. You need mandatory gun education. And I mean just gun safety, not teaching someone how to shoot per se. Mandatory gun safety education, not imposed in the schools, but available to every school child.
Mm-hmm.
You need to have I'm not talking about money because I'm not a big government guy. You need at least implicit support from the government to support programs that do teach gun safety and that provide safe places for people to learn that, use their guns, and hold people responsible, deeply responsible, criminally responsible where appropriate, for misuse of guns.
Okay.
Well, we already have all those laws, but we don't seem to be imposing those penalties in a great way on people. We're busy putting people who are addicts in jail, even though they didn't use a firearm.
Mm-hmm.
And the people with a firearm who use a firearm are not supposed to possess one, aren't getting the maximum penalty. So, you know, that's another issue. But I would challenge you again. This is what I tell my sister, and we have an ongoing debate. She's not anti-gun, but she wavers.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell her the same thing. She lives in New York State. So she's living in a state where they're imposing great registration and gun control and confiscation programs, like Australia. I tell her the same thing every time we have the conversation. I will show up on the middle of the bridge. I'll bring my AK-47. I do, in fact, own one. I enjoy shooting it. And you bring your iPhone and your computer, and we'll throw them both over together. Because the iPhone and the computer represents most people's expression and practice of their First Amendment rights.
You know, that's a really interesting take on this, I have to say. I had not really
They're
thought
equal.
About it.
Mm-hmm. We need to equalize them and then have the debate in that context.
Well, you know, when you bring up the First Amendment, I mean, there are restrictions on First. You're not allowed to screech fire in a crowded theater for that.
That's correct.
Things like that. This notion of mandatory gun safety education nationwide is an intriguing one.
It's availability. I'm not a mandatory guy.
Oh.
It'd be available just like preschool. We argue about preschool being available.
Mm-hmm.
Let's have free gun safety education available at every single school. I encourage children going to camp to their parents. Please make sure they get into the gun and archery programs. They'll teach them gun safety.
Mm-hmm.
There are suicide by gun rates of kids who have been through that, and accident by gun rates are vastly reduced statistically. You can look that up. Because they know when a kid comes out and says, "Hey, I got daddy's 22, let's go shoot," they say, "No, I got to go."
You know,
they go look for a parent because they've understood. They've been trained.
You know, that's a really interesting take, and I really appreciate it. And I'm going to just let your idea and your challenge hang out there and encourage other callers to take it up and see what people think. And, Bill, thank you so much. A very thoughtful call, and I really appreciate
your
point of view on this. Call us
again. Good job this morning, Esther.
Well, thank you very much. Shirley from Bradford, you're on open mic.
Right. I support what he just proposed, and I would add to it, if we would raise the price of ammunition to astronomical levels, that would eliminate a lot of the problem. But anyway, I'm almost 100 years old, and I grew up with firearms on a Connecticut tobacco farm, and that was my choice after going to Manhattan for graduate school. I wouldn't have a gun. I always had guns. I wouldn't have a gun in Manhattan because I didn't want to open my apartment door to find the burglar facing me on the other side with my gun.
Mm-hmm.
And I even had the unique experience of a couple of cops jumping into the back of my car in Manhattan while they're chasing somebody.
Mm.
So that's, you know, there are all of the, you get a perspective from all these different birds. But I moved to Vermont 50 years ago in order to recreate the rural atmosphere of Connecticut with more hills in any way. But I'm all for a single-shot weapon. I'm a must. if you can't hit something that you're aiming at in one shot, you shouldn't be firing. And I got this kind of bias some years ago when I first heard in my woods right on my fence line somebody cracking off 10 shots. He was either making deer burger or it was, you know, he wasn't shooting at anything. But I could have been in the woods in the range of that weapon, mm-hmm. and that has turned me off the whole idea of these large magazines. Anybody that needs more than 10 shots for anything is just crazy. And they want to fire military weapons, join up, sign up, you know, put your life on the line.
That's, you know, I think I'm with you on each of those points. I really am. I agree. It is frightening to be in the woods and hear that stuff going off as if, you know, somebody needs to pull the trigger 15 times to hit something.
Well, I think anybody who has actually had experience with that, and I made, you know, I am a skinflint. I don't want to buy ammunition, and I don't want to shoot it more than one shot at a time. Mm-hmm. But I think we really need to get people to reality. The training that the previous caller was talking about, all of his proposals were good. I certainly support them. But we just need a whole new attitude. It's different in rural America.
You know, that's what I wanted to get back to, because you mentioned early on, I'd love to revisit the idea of just sort of this cultural difference. You said you would not have a gun in Manhattan because you wouldn't want to open the door and find a burglar holding your gun on you when you got there. There is something different in different places, and there's an understanding of how firearms fit into life that differs from one place to another. Would you agree with that?
Oh, certainly. And I was there when the Manhattan police were being criticized, you know, for chasing somebody, firing their weapons on the streets of Manhattan, you know, racing after somebody, a criminal, and all of us ducking. And the police were less well-armed than some of the criminals, obviously. And they were asking for, well, you know, how all of that has changed now. We don't have officer-friendly walking the beat in the cities. Mm-hmm. We have guys riding in cruisers, and there is, you know, all of that community shooting. You know, mm-hmm. there are terrible atrocities in the cities. Mm-hmm. But there's no excuse for us in rural America living that way. And I think we can be much more sensible about our guns. And we don't need to fear the government coming to take our guns. It's not going to happen. But I'm the vote for the support of the skinflints of this world that think if they really had expensive ammunition, they would choose much better judgment and the use of their weapons.
That's a very good point. You might as well make their economic behavior work for the benefit of all of us. Before I let you go, Shirley, I want to know, when you were growing up on this Connecticut tobacco farm, why did you have the guns? I know that sounds like a silly question, but tell us about your life there.
I had a single-shot 22. I was allowed to, you know, shoot rats and whatever we needed shooting. Mm-hmm. Woodchucks, it was a big, the family would go on a little carouse. Sitting on the fenders of the truck, we'd have everybody all over the truck with 22s, terrifying the poor woodchucks, and it was totally unfair. In fact, we even went so far as pouring water down their holes to bring them out so we could shoot them on the way out.
Oh my God.
This is a real, you know. Well, I often gross out my friends because I raised beef since coming to Vermont, and I was both the midwife at their birth and the executioner at the time that they were going mm-hmm. to their destination, their destiny. So, I've always lived with guns. I can know how to live with guns, but a lot of these people are just we're not going to solve it with all this madness, and it's the basis of fear. I mm-hmm. think that's really underlying so much of this stuff. But
I think you're right, and we don't think clearly when we're afraid, and I think that that's a really good point.
Well, I bored you enough.
No, you have not bored me a bit. I wish you lived closer. I'd love to go have coffee with you. Thank you so much for calling, Shirley. Appreciate your perspective.
Come to Bradford and I'll buy you the coffee.
Well, you know what? Don't ask me if you don't really want me to come, because
okay.
I will show up. Great, Shirley. Thanks for calling.
You're welcome.
Appreciate
Bye.
It. Nils from Duxbury, you're on the air on open mic.
Thanks for taking my call. Great show as always. A lot of what she said resonated with me. When I was a kid, I mean, my folks put a bounty on rabbits and woodchucks because they raised mischief with my mom's garden.
Uh-huh.
And as I recall, rabbits were a quarter and woodchucks were 50 cents.
Oh, boy.
We had a single-shot Remington 22.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess if you're a 9 or 10 or 11-year-old kid, you know, you feel like you're contributing to the community. And
well, you are.
Making popsicle money.
Yeah, well, you are contributing.
The caller before her,
mm-hmm.
I had a lot to disagree with, and I'm going to just try to be as concise as I can.
Okay.
First of all, gun manufacturing is a giant business, and the NRA is, you know, the front person, I'm going to say front man, for all these manufacturers, and, you know, I think 99% of the sales of these crazy weapons that we have are built, designed, and marketed to satisfy some kind of really out-of-kilter pathologic need that people have to, you know, boost their self-esteem with this power thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like, you know, sometimes I like to drive fast. Sometimes I would get on a motorcycle and go really fast.
Mm-hmm.
I know what that feeling is. There's a sort of a power feeling that you get from this stuff, and I think this guy needs to look inside. If he has a, you know, semi-automatic or fully automatic AK, and he's not in the service, then that worries me.
Well,
and
I mean, to be fair,
I think the people that are jumping up and down right now, saying, "Oh, you know, gun control's bad. You know, all we're just sportsmen." A bunch of horse bucky, as Ken would say,
mm-hmm.
and shame on them. So,
well, to be fair, this is
contributing to fear and anger and uncertainty. And you know, Shirley nailed it very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
That's my comment. You got a commercial break, so I'll hang up.
thanks a lot. I appreciate your call. We got another caller on the line. Oh, it's Fred from Newbury. How are you doing today, Fred?
Good. The FBI said that the killer bought the gun legally. How would they know if guns weren't registered?
Good point.
They wouldn't know, would they? So guns are already registered. Oh, and the other thing is, you know, the gun law, the gun rights are written in stone.
The gun rights are...
The right to bear arms in the United States is written in stone. Would you agree?
I would agree it is in the Bill of Rights, but so is the right to free speech, and yet we are not allowed to shout fire in a crowded theater.
Yeah, and you're not allowed to murder with a gun either,
mm-hmm.
right? So, but, you know.
So are you saying, Fred, are you saying that there really isn't anything we should be trying to do about it?
Well... It's a states' rights thing rather than a federal government thing, I think.
You do. That's an interesting take.
You know, it's a states' rights thing. I mean, Vermont is a place where you can own a gun without much of a hassle.
Mm-hmm.
New Hampshire, you can own a gun without much of a hassle, except you go in, you buy the gun legally, the gun's registered with the ATF, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you pass the criteria, then you can own a gun. I think that's perfectly legitimate and reasonable to do it that way.
If only things ended that way. So I guess you're suggesting that when we worry about things like the mass shooting in Orlando, we really need to be looking at something else.
You know, okay, so, all right, here's what's going to happen. Lay talked about, you know, make ammunition expensive. Well, why don't we have a gun safety tax, 30% of the cost of the gun? Why don't we get rid of guns that way?
And what would we do with the proceeds? Do you have a...
What would you do with the proceeds?
Yeah, what would you do?
For gun safety.
Yeah, what would you do, though? How would you... What would you... Would you have...
Well, the proceeds, theoretically, would be used to help the victims.
Okay.
Right?
Okay,
right?
Sure.
Okay, that would be a possibility, but the problem with that is you're restricting gun rights, would you say?
I would say...
If you put a tax of 30%... A 30% tax on the purchase of a gun, legally,
mm-hmm.
by Congress, you'd be restricting gun rights.
Well, you'd be restricting who would be able to get a gun. That's true. Do you think they should be free?
the guns aren't free. You have to pay for the gun.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the government should charge you 30% to buy a gun.
Well, if they won't jack the prices up.
Can you see the point? What my point is? The point wants to restrict guns, and they can do it with making ammunition cost more than it should and making guns cost more than it should via a tax.
Yeah, okay.
And I don't think that'll ever happen because it would be voted out. But there's that one other interesting thing, you know, this gun rights thing. You know, I think it was 20 years ago or something, I can't remember. You know, there was a big issue about gun rights, and a lot of congressmen and senators got voted out.
Yeah.
Remember that? Well, guess what? Gerrymandering is going to prevent that.
Well, you know, there's a complaint about that pretty much every time it happens, isn't there? That a lot of things get manipulated through the manipulation of the lines of the districts. It's certainly
true.
Yeah,
right. All the districts are politically homogeneous, so, you know, the district could be all Democrats. The district's all Democrats, and they're going to vote probably to restrict gun rights.
Well, and they're also the people who are designing the new lines are the people who would like to keep their jobs. So, I mean, there's that piece of it as well.
That's part of it. That's for sure. The Republicans are going to do the same thing. They're going to redesign the lines to benefit them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think that's part of the reason why the country is polarized.
Well, it may be, but I keep looking back in history, and you can point to a number of occasions over the course of the 200 some odd years that we've been cooking along here when there have been things equally divisive and sometimes more dangerous than they may feel now, and yet somehow we creak through.
But you said equally divisive.
Mm-hmm. I mean, look back to the days of, you know, Thomas Jefferson and Samuel Adams, and, you know, the early 1800s, and you look at that presidential campaign, which probably...
Was there constitutional issues back then? I can't remember.
Well, there are constitutional issues everywhere, but there are also extremely divisive partisan divides that have been part and parcel of the way we do business. It's only recently that we've had this notion that things... arrive at a political convention already settled. I mean, when Jack Kennedy was...
I agree about this gun issue, because when I was a kid, there was no gun issue. When I was a kid, 50 years ago, I was a kid, and there was no gun issue.
No gun issue where you lived, or no gun issue, period?
I didn't think there was a gun issue at all.
Well, I think after Jack Kennedy died, there was certainly a gun issue.
Okay, right. And then in 68, they had
two assassinations. Yep.
The 68 gun law came on, and that was the only one since Clinton had the assault weapons ban.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, the issue with guns is an issue with the Constitution, and if this happened in Colorado, Fitch and Looper wanted to come down hard on gun owners.
Yeah.
Right. Well. What happened was, because it's a rural community, there's about two or three big towns and big cities in Colorado, the sheriff's department didn't like the idea of Hickenlooper's hard stance on guns for good reason, because the sheriff is elected.
Mm-hmm.
And so Hickenlooper backed down.
Yeah. You know what, Fred? I'm going to have you wrap it. We have to do a commercial break.
Okay.
But
you have a good day.
You too, and call us again, would you? We will be right back with more Open Mic after these words. Good morning and welcome back. It's Open Mic. I'm Hester Fuller. I'm with you for another 19-20 minutes or so. We are on the air every Monday from 9 till 11. And then Mike Smith is here Tuesday through Friday, same slot, and all kinds of interesting topics. And your comments are the backbone of this program, so thank you very much for calling. At 11 o'clock this morning, a quick reminder, we will be welcoming Bill Sayre, as we do every weekday morning at 11. He'll be in here with Matthew Strong, and they'll be talking about Vermont's Medicaid program. Does it cause our private insurance rates to be among the highest in the nation? That's the topic this morning on Common Sense Radio with Bill Sayre. Brought to you by the Ethan Allen Institute. They're coming up at 11 o'clock this morning. We have a backlog of folks, lots of folks calling in, and I want to turn now to Helen from Barrytown, who's been incredibly patient. Hello, Helen.
Hi there. I think a tax on ammunition would be a good idea. Cutting off the supply of assault weapons wouldn't make much of a dent because there's a huge amount of them already in homes.
Yeah, I think you got a point there. I mean, I was thinking of that after while we were in the break, you know, that there's just an awful lot of them already out there. Now, the tax on ammo, what do you think that ought to be? Do you have a sense of the scale of it, or, you know?
No, I really don't.
But just something that would jack the price up to make it...
to make it a little harder to get.
Yeah, yeah.
And that could be used to educate everyone on use of guns.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, I hear you.
That's, okay, a that, second thing.
Yes.
Why aren't people getting all upset about all these people being killed in car accidents? There's far more, far, far more mm-hmm. that are killed in car accidents in the United States that are killed in these one-time massacres.
This is true.
And people are not getting all worked up about that.
You know, why is that? People do tend to just kind of like...
Because it's one or two at a time.
One or two at a time, and we hear about it. We've been hearing about it for decades. And
probably.
Yeah.
But people have been shooting at each other for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm upset about the number of shootings, like in the big cities in Chicago a few weekends back.
Yeah.
What, 30-some-odd people were shot, mm-hmm. and six of them were killed.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Because this happens all the time.
Well, it's pretty intense, and those numbers seem huge. I mean, one person is too much in my book, but...
Well, yes, that's for certain. But car accidents, we need to really, I think, really discuss that, what's causing them and what can be done to decrease the amount. And it's been here in Vermont.
Yeah.
I forgot how many have been killed in car accidents so far this year, but it's, I think, a higher number than usual.
Well, it's you know, an ongoing problem in our state. As is the gun controversy, too, I think, although here in Vermont we have a different kind of a culture and a different kind of an approach toward firearms, so it's not quite the same here as it seems to be in other
places. Well, we're not as intensely populated, plus we do not have a diverse population of different races and colors and that type of thing, and that's what a lot of this is started at. Hatred does nothing but hurt the person who's doing the hating.
Well, and sometimes it hurts the person who gets hated, too.
Well, it hurts the person who's doing the hitting, I think, far more inside.
Mm-hmm. Inside.
And it affects all the people around them. And
yeah.
It does you no good to hate anybody.
That's true. But, you know, on the other hand, you do, if you live, you get a chance to change your thinking about these things. And some of these folks do not get that privilege and that option.
Mm-hmm.
But I hear you, Helen. I hear you particularly about the ammo tax. And I want to thank you for calling in. And thank you very much for being so patient with this.
I enjoy your show. Thank you.
Oh, I'll call in again, I hope. Kip from Middlebury, you're on the air.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
So you should listen to Chris Rock does a bit about, ammo costing $500 a round.
Uh-huh.
And it's pretty funny.
I haven't heard that. I love Chris Rock. I'll have to look for that.
Sometimes comedians can put these types of things into a pretty poignant but kind of entertaining light. But anyway, listen, why I called is, I just want, my point is that when I go duck hunting,
mm-hmm.
I got to put a plug in my shotgun
mm-hmm.
so that there's only three rounds.
Really?
And the reason for that is it gives kids, or it gives ducks a chance.
Yeah.
So what I want to know is if we can do that for ducks to give them a chance, why can't we limit the magazine size for a assault weapon? Why can't we give kids a chance, like was done in Newtown?
Yeah, well, you know, that's another excellent question. What do you think would make more sense or be more effective, or both? The idea of a higher tax on ammo, or the idea of limiting the size of magazines?
Well, have you listened to the Snapchat audio that was taken outside?
I have not.
That disco.
No, I have not heard it.
It's frightening.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure
The guy shoots off 20-some-odd rounds in 9 seconds.
Mm.
I'm a gun owner. I don't care if people want to have guns, fine, whatever, enjoy it, you know? Because most people have guns for enjoyment. And, you know, the argument that it's for self-defense, these semi-automatic assault fire rifles, there's lots of other things you can do to defend yourself other mm-hmm. than one of those. But, it's giving the potential victims in a slaughter like this, it's giving them half a chance
mm-hmm.
when a guy has to reload. I mean, it just seems to me like that's a pretty low bar to set, but maybe that's something that we can agree on.
Well, you know, I think there's something to that, and I appreciate the perspective on that. I appreciate the calls. We've had a number of good suggestions this morning. Kip from Middlebury, I hope you'll call us again at some point. We love hearing from our listeners from all around the state. Some very good suggestions have been coming in here. This idea of revisiting the ammunition tax. Haven't heard anybody think that was a bad idea. Love to know what you think about that. And then this idea of limiting the magazine size. Mm-hmm. Yep. So the focus, instead of being on the firearms, which are specifically mentioned in the Bill of Rights, Second Amendment, we focus instead on the ammo. Is that the solution to these things? Could be. Artie's nodding at me. I don't know what he's asking for. Oh, yes, we do need to do some business here, don't we? All right, we're going to take another break and be back on the other side with a few more minutes of open mic. We're here till 11. Good morning and welcome back to Open Mic here on a Monday morning. It's about 9 minutes in front of 11 o'clock on Common Sense Radio. Hester Fuller is my name, and I'm with you until the top of the hour. I'm going to do something now I don't usually do. We have heard from Bill from Johnson once this hour already, but normally we don't have folks on twice simply because it's not fair to the other folks who are calling in, and we do have another caller waiting in line. But Bill, I know you called in, and I want to hear what you have to say, so tell us what you're thinking.
I appreciate the exception. I wanted to address some of the things that were said.
Okay, it's going to have to be quick, Bill, because we're going to have to be kind of tight here because we do have another question.
No, I'm going to make it really quick.
Okay, go ahead.
So I am a fire safety arms instructor. Mm-hmm. I have worked with youth hunters. I have spent a lot of time as a range safety officer at my range. Mm-hmm. And the gentleman inferred that somehow owning an AK-47 makes you sort of psychologically diagnosable in some way. And immature. I own many weapons, not all AK-47s, and it is not an automatic weapon, and this is one of the fallacies.
Okay.
I am also not a member of the NRA, which will surprise a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
I am the firearms policy analyst for the Vermont Traditions Coalition. I do this as a volunteer activist.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to clarify that, you know, everyone sort of lumps us all in as part of the NRA and that they're somehow a corporate shill for the gun industry.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm not.
Well, you know, this is this is a valuable perspective. And I'm unfamiliar with the Vermont Traditions Coalition. Can you tell me a bit about that? What is that?
Well, Vermont Traditions Coalition's been around since the Champion Land sale in Northeast in 99. They formed in 2001, I believe, officially. And they work for sportsmen, hunters, access to public lands, and to make sure that the regulatory structure doesn't infringe upon the constitutional rights of Vermonters to hunt, fish, and fowl on lands in seasonable times. That's Article 59 of our Constitution.
Well,
they also work for gun rights.
Well, what do you know? You know, this is interesting, and I'm definitely going to be asking you about this again in future. We do have someone backed up.
I'd be happy to be a guest on your show or have someone else from the Traditions Coalition
your
show. Bill Ferry knows us well.
Okay, shoot me an email with the particulars
for
contact.
Thank you for your consideration.
All right, Bill, thanks for calling in.
Bye.
Jack from Bridport, you're on the air on Open Mic.
Hi. Hi, Hector. We've heard some interesting things this morning, but nothing that I would ever want to go along with, like gun registration. Any dictatorship, that's one of the first things that happens. They register your guns and they take them away.
Well,
another one's a tax on ammunition. And there's been a tax 11% for years, years and years. And now, like the city of Chicago, they put a 50-cent a bullet tax. And take a look what's happening out there every weekend, every week. Killing people left and right. That don't stop anything.
Well, I appreciate that perspective. What would you do?
What would I do?
Yeah,
what?
Well, if these measures don't stop, you know, the proliferation of weapons that kill or the events that we see, what would you do to kind of prevent things like what happened down in Orlando, for example?
Well, you take that guy down there. He was a Muslim, wasn't he?
What does that have to do with anything?
Well, I just would fire him in the gun shop. I wouldn't sell a Muslim a gun.
Well, duly noted. I don't think that's legal in this country, but duly noted.
I think
noted.
It is. Why not?
Why not? Because
the guy didn't sell him the body armor down there, and that was legal.
Well, you know what? We're going to have to agree to disagree about that, and I thank you very much for calling, Jack, and I hope you'll call us again here on Open Mic. The time is 6 minutes in front of 11 a.m., and coming up at the top of the hour, we have Bill Sayre coming in with Common Sense Radio. He's got a pretty good lineup for this entire week. Tomorrow, Peter Galbraith, who is a interested in serving as our governor. He'll be in to talk about what his plans are and how he would accomplish them. Bill Sayre will interview Peter Galbraith tomorrow on Common Sense Radio at 11 o'clock in the morning. And even later in the week, Phil Scott will be in, too. Bill will interview Phil Scott to get his answers about the things he would do as governor. That's coming up on Thursday. Lots to talk about with the upcoming political races right here in Vermont. Big news out of the national race. We heard just less than an hour ago that Corey Lewandowski got the "you're fired" speech. That's right. Donald Trump has fired his lead campaign manager, or at least someone who has been leading his campaign for most of the time. He has another guy that's already on deck and working, but this certainly does signal a change in direction, I would imagine, for Mr. Trump in his quest for the White House if he really wants it. I'm wondering if he really does want that job. Arnie, do you have any thoughts about that at all, whether Mr. Trump seriously wants this job or not?
If he wins.
If he wins, do you think he wants it?
Yeah.
You do?
Sure.
I really wonder.
All he wants to do is win.
Well, if he wins, that's true. But then what's he going to do? Is it a job that he actually wants to hold?
I really don't know.
I kind of think he doesn't really want to, because he just seems to be self-destructing left and right. So I just don't understand why anybody who seriously wants
to. It's all entertainment, isn't it, Hester?
Oh, gosh. No, it is not. Okay. Now, just you stop that.
Okay.
It is not just entertainment. It's serious. It is serious. Fortunately, up here in Vermont, we kind of do what we want. We carry on, and we don't expect anybody to come riding to the rescue for us. So, you know, life will continue, and we shall carry on, and we shall persevere. I just hope that there's still a country to belong to after this is all over. It's not good news. You are listening to WDEV News Radio, the Open Mic Public Affairs Program, where we encourage our listeners to call in and express their thoughtful opinions about the issues of the day. We need to stop and take a bit of a break because we had so many calls we kind of got backlogged on our commercial spot load, so we need to do a little bit more business, and then we'll be back to wrap things up. You are listening to the Open Mic Program on WDEV News Radio. Hester Fuller is my name, and I'm with you every Monday from 9 o'clock until 11 o'clock in the morning. Always welcoming your calls and your perspective and your thoughts on the news of the day and the things that you think are important. Mondays, we like to throw the mic wide open and just let you guys dictate the agenda, and it's always interesting and always fun. And this past hour in particular has been a real eye-opener for me. It's been interesting to talk to folks about their views on controlling firearms, or at least the effects of firearms. Different ideas been surfaced here, everything from raising an ammo tax to making a gun education available to any student, any kid in the public schools. I think that that's a really good idea. I wonder if we could ever see that, some motion in that direction actually happen. If you have a topic you'd like us to pick up or a guest you'd like us to invite in here, you know, you can always shoot an email to either Mike Smith at msmith@radiovermont.com, or you can send it to me, hfuller@radiovermont.com. We read all our email, we answer our email, and we get a lot of good ideas from our email. So feel free to drop us a line and let us know if you've got a topic or a thought perhaps that didn't get all the way expressed while you were on the air. We certainly like to hear what you think about the stories that we pick up and the things that you hear other listeners have to say on the air. That's going to just about wrap it up for us. Coming up at the top of the hour, we have a bit of a news break, and then Bill Sayre will be in, as he is every weekday morning here on WDEV from 11 until noon. He will be here with the Common Sense Radio program brought to you by the Ethan Allen Institute. Today, he's here with Matthew Strong, and they'll be talking about Vermont's Medicaid program and its relationship to private insurance rates, which happen to be among the highest in the nation, according to Bill. So we hope you'll stay tuned and keep listening to WDEV News Radio, here broadcasting from Waterbury, Vermont on AM 550, broadcasting from Warren and Waithfield at FM 96.1, and from Barry, Vermont at 96.5 FM. Also blanketing the kingdom from the independently owned airwaves of 101.9 FM out of Island Pond. Have a great week. See you next Monday.
The Open Mic Podcast is brought to you by Hickok Boardman, Dennis Ricker, and Brown.
Find us online at hbinsurance.com. And you're always welcome to visit us on Facebook, in Vermont, online, on the phone. Hickok and Boardman Insurance Group. We are here when you need us.